You are listening to the Sankofa Council of Milwaukee radio broadcast, where the host is Dr. Janine James, Sister Ipua Ma'at, Sister Osati Anki, Brother Kwasi Crabb, and Brother Kwojo Robinson. The Sankofa Council of Milwaukee radio broadcast is an affiliate of the Black Reality Think Tank Network, and it broadcasts on the Time for an Awakening radio platform. Contact them at SankofaCouncilMKE@gmail.com. I repeat, SankofaCouncilMKE@gmail.com.
Finley Medical Clinic. We serve uninsured, underinsured, and insured individuals. Open Monday through Thursday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Urgent care clinic Friday and Saturday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call for an appointment at 414-988-3079. Finley Medical Clinic is accepting new patients. Vaccines and screenings for uninsured, underinsured, and insured. Located at 10721 West Capitol Drive, Suite 110. Call our office for an appointment today at 414-988-3079.
Are you or is anyone you know suffering from the horrific effects of trauma? If so, the Little Book of Affirmations, Claim Your Narrative Over Trauma, can help you. This short ebook is a self-help tool to help you get started on the path of healing from the impacts of trauma. It is important to know that trauma is not an event. It is how your body responds to an event. School shootings, police shootings, the death of a loved one, car accident, all of these events can cause trauma in our bodies. But you can heal from it. I repeat, you can heal from it. So go to Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble to purchase your ebook today, and just in time for the holidays, which is a time when a lot of people are suffering. Give the gift of healing for yourself or for someone you care about. The book was written by a licensed professional counselor who specializes in trauma-informed care. Follow her on Instagram at PLT_LPC and LinkedIn at Patricia Taylor. And I repeat, Instagram at PLT_LPC. And LinkedIn at Patricia Taylor.
Every voice. We're poor. We're poor. Ashe.
Ashe.
We're poor to the creative spirit, the great Ashe out of which we all emerge. Ashe.
Ashe.
We pour to that creative spirit by whatever name we know it, whatever name you hold in your heart, in your mind, whatever name your ancestors gave, whatever name you learned as a child, whatever name you believe it to be, whatever name you believe it to be in spirit or in science. Ashe.
Okay.
We pour to the first human beings who came into existence on this planet, the first human beings who raised the first structures, who cooked the first meals, who taught the first children, who had the first children, the first Africans, the first people who stood upright, who walked, who figured out how to stay on this planet, who figured out how to pass that knowledge on to their children and their children's children, the mothers and fathers of civilization. Ashe.
Ashe.
We pour the next libation to their grandchildren, their children's children, those who raised the great early civilizations of Kemet and Kush and Monomotapa, the great medieval civilizations of Ghana and Mali and Songhai and Kanem-Bornu. We pour to those who great the great civilizations of the Igbo people and the Hausa people and the Kikongo people and the Mbara people, the great Mande civilizations, the great Kikongo, the great civilizations of Southern Africa, the Bantu people, the great civilizations of Southeast Africa, the Dinka, the Shilluk, the Nuer. We pour to those millions who raised the foundations from which the world would learn what it meant to be human in the world, Ashe.
Ashe.
We pour to their children who, upon the arrival on the shores of people they had never seen before, found themselves captured and marched overland, found themselves perishing by the millions before they were held on the holding cells and the open air pens on the coast of West, Central, Southern, and East Africa. We pour to the ancestors who did not know as they were stripped of all clothing and sent denuded into boats, packed like animals and strewn their bones across the floor of the Atlantic and the Indian Ocean. We pour to them who in the last moment on Africa grabbed the sand and grabbed the dirt and put it in their mouths and understood that the only thing they might have to preserve their place in that continent was their memory of that place and their ability to pass it on to their children. We pour to them. Ashe.
Ashe.
We pour to those Africans and their children who, finding themselves cast adrift in Santiago, Cuba, who found themselves cast adrift in Puerto Spain, Trinidad, and Port-au-Prince, Haiti, who found themselves cast adrift in New Orleans and Charleston and Mobile, who found themselves cast adrift in Salvador, Bahia, who found themselves cast adrift in Barbados and the archipelago that formed the Wayward and the Windward Coast. We found them in these places, learning Portuguese and Spanish and French, whose often first words was, "Oh my God, oh Madre de Dios," who found themselves praying to survive and pass on to their children the memories. We pour to those ancestors who are represented in the thousands buried in all the square miles of where we stand, and who sit here, buried before us in 400 caskets forged of wood from West Africa with Adinkra symbols. Each one of them, each woman, man, and child, symbolic of millions. The children of those who could not be killed, we pour, Ashe.
Ashe.
We pour to their children who somehow survived the hells of enslavement and fought for emancipation in the Caribbean, the French, British, Dutch Caribbean, who fought for emancipation in South America, who fought for emancipation in Central America, who fought the struggles we refer to as the Civil War in the United States, who came out of that, marched out of enslavement through Reconstruction, and found themselves making great migrations, eventually ending up in places like New York. Their children's children, who making a way for themselves became our great-great-grandparents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, our parents, those who, when the first bones were discovered in this space, held their hands and said, "Stop! No more! We are here to speak for those who can no longer speak with their mouths." We pour for those ancestors, some of whom came to Howard University in 2004 and followed these caskets all the way back to New York. We pray to the great ancestors, the ones whose names we know and the ones whose names we don't. And at this moment, as we pour this libation, I would ask anyone who feels comfortable to say the name of someone in your bloodline who is no longer physically here, but who you know made it possible for you to be here. Go ahead, let's hear the names.
Haywood Carr.
Porter Griffin.
Thomas Lee Jr.
Evelyn Glover.
We pour to the names that we hold collectively. Ganga Zumba in Brazil. Toussaint Louverture, Jean-Jacques Dessalines, and Henri Christophe in Haiti. We pour to the great Avengers, Nanny of the Maroons of Jamaica. We pour to the great ancestors, Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth, Frederick Douglass. Say the names that you study. Who are the names of the ancestors that you have come to hold in your heart and your mind as you hope that you can do what they did for us, for your children and children's children? Let's say some of those famous names.
Malcolm X, Honorable Elijah Muhammad,
John Henry Clark, John Dr. Jackson, Muhammad. Jacob Carruthers. And finally, two final libations. We pour to those who make it possible for us to do what we do. We pour to these rangers who stand guardian over this sacred space. We pour to these Africans and these folks who have come from Howard University, the staff, the faculty, the administrators who brought us here today to bear witness. This is not a libation, but an affirmation, because their hearts still beat, their tongues still speak, their minds still think, and their minds still wish the best for us. We pour for all of those people who surrounded us on this journey today and made it possible for us to be here. We pour this affirmation of thanks, Ashe.
Ashe.
And finally, we pour to your children's children's children who will one day stand on this space and speak your name.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go and what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
For ourselves, we're tired of beating our head against the wall and working with someone else.
are listening to the Sankofa Council of Milwaukee Radio Broadcast, where the host is Dr. Janine James, Sister Ipua Ma'at, Sister Osati Ankti, Brother Kwasi Kraft, and Brother Kwojo Robinson. The Sankofa Council of Milwaukee Radio Broadcast is an affiliate of the Black Reality Think Tank Network, and it broadcasts on the Time for an Awakening radio platform. Contact them at SankofaCouncilMKE@gmail.com. I repeat, SankofaCouncilMKE@gmail.com.
Hey, hey, Harbargani family. Welcome and thank you for joining us. I'm excited. This is Sister Ifua Maat, and I'm excited to start this conversation, even though this is an ongoing conversation, but we're going to be talking about Black entrepreneurship and the importance of supporting Black-owned businesses. And Kwanzaa is a time for us to recycle our dollars in the Black community. So we're going to explore a Black market with our guest, Demia Kwasi of Kwasi Customs Creations, and Rob, who is our second guest, and Juliet will be joining us in the second hour, and they're the owners of Fit for You Milwaukee. So right now, you're here with my sisters and me, as that famous song goes, with Sister Aserta Ankti and Dr. Janine James.
Good evening.
Good evening, sisters. Good evening. How are you guys?
Glad to be here.
Yeah, yeah. Blessed to be up in it for another day. So I'm so honored and excited to start this conversation with Sister Demia Kwasi. She has some beautiful jewelry, and she designs it herself. I got a chance to come across her beautiful wares at a vending event for Kwanzaa, Christmas and Kwanzaa, over at the Sherman Park Phoenix, or Sherman Phoenix. Correction, because we do have a Sherman Park, but this is Sherman Phoenix. And I would like to introduce you guys to Demia. Welcome. And thank you for being a part of our discussion.
Thank you so much for having me.
So share with us a little bit about yourself and then how you got started with your jewelry.
Okay. Well, my name is Demia Kwasi, and I'm a native of Milwaukee, born and raised here all of my life. I started Kwasi Custom Creations about 5-ish years ago. I wasn't really selling anything at first. It really started because I was staying home with my parent-in-law, my husband's parents. They were older, and they were starting to have some health issues, and so I took over their care at home so that my husband could still work and they could be in their home. So while I was home with them, I just kind of started creating jewelry for myself, And then I would get compliments on the jewelry that I would wear. And so that's kind of how I got started. So it never really was in my intention originally to even start it as a business. It was just my intention to have things to fill in my time while I was home with my parents-in-laws. And so that's how things started for me.
Okay. And how, give the description of how you would define or describe your creation.
What I make? Okay, so I tend to lean more towards a lot of Afrocentric style jewelry. I'm drawn to earth tones, so I use a lot of earth tones. I use a lot of red, black, and green because those are really important colors to me personally. I make waist beads, I make earrings, I make bracelets. I'm making a lot of bracelets now with the Adinkra symbols and things like that. So I tend to go more towards a lot of Afrocentric style jewelry or natural things like cotton, blue jean, things like that.
Okay. So it sounds like there's a purpose behind your creation.
Yes. So my creations tend to be, again, more focused, more culturally focused. When I create things, I make them with our culture in mind because, of course, that's my reference point, right? I'm Black. So that's my reference point. So I tend to make things geared more towards, I'm thinking about us when I create stuff.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then what, give a price range of what your jewelry sells for.
I have earrings, because I do hand-painted earrings and things too. I have earrings that range in price from $4 up to about $15 are the majority of my price point for earrings. Bracelets can range anywhere from $7 to $20. A lot of times, of course, it depends on the material, too, that you use. And waist beads, I usually make my waist beads custom for people. Mm-hmm. So waist beads are based on what the person wants, like the style they want. Do they want crystals? Do they want charms? So I have waist beads that are pretty basic, starting at about $12 to $15, and more personalized waist beads that can go up to about $30. So it just depends on what the customer is looking for.
Okay. So when the family is out shopping for Kwanzaa, you have costs where a young one at like an 8-year-old that has a savings can purchase items for mom and sis and or family women. So where do you usually sell? Are you vending? Do you do pop-ups?
I've gotten into pop-ups a lot more the last, I want to say seriously, 2 years. And I am inside of the Kuji Chagalia Cooperative inside the Sherman Phoenix. So my product is sold there regularly. And I also will be doing a pop-up tomorrow at Sherman Phoenix. And that is from noon until 5. I will be doing 2 days of Kwanzaa at the African American Women's Center on the 27th and the 29th. And I believe if Claiborne has a spot for me, I'll also be doing it on the 26th at Kwanzaa. But I'll definitely be at opening night Kwanzaa, regardless of whether I'm selling or not. So.
Okay. And when you speak of Claiborne, you're talking about the Wisconsin Historical Society Museum?
Yes. Okay. Yes. The Kwanzaa is back in person this year, but you do have to register online because it's only going to be open to 200 people.
Okay. Okay. Yes. So he increased the number because I know when I heard about it, he stated 150 and that you need to, like you said, register online
mm-hmm.
To receive a ticket. in order to be to enter the facility.
Yes.
So your how can someone reach you if they're not in Milwaukee? Because we have a global ear. People a little bit from everywhere. Do you have a website? They can reach you via email. How can someone reach you that's not physically in Milwaukee?
They can reach me through Facebook at my first and last name. So my Facebook page is just my name, which is Demia Causey. So you can friend me on Facebook or send me a message. I am also on Instagram, and that is at Misunderstood Mia, one word, just like it sounds. So MISUNDERSTOODMIA, Misunderstood Mia on Instagram. Or you can email me at DemiaCausey@gmail.com.
Okay. And Demia is DAMIA. Causey,
yes.
CAUSEY.
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you for that. So appreciate you sharing with us. Right now, what I would like to do is ask Sister Asante to share the ancestral profile, which is it hits on the importance of our community and Black business. So, Sister Asante, would you mind sharing with us?
Yes. Our ancestral profile this evening is Maynard Jackson, who was the first African American to serve as a mayor of a major southern city called Capital of the New South. Due to Maynard's work, he created an Atlanta that boasted the world's busiest airport, allowed minorities to do business with the government, hosted the Olympic Games, and attracted people to a Black Mecca. The great-grandson of enslaved ancestry, graduate from Morehouse College at age 18, and Jackson was only 35 when he was first elected mayor in 1973. During his first 8-year stint in City Hall, he launched programs intended to empower neighborhoods, raise the profile of Black crime, included minorities in the city's economic boom, and began building the foundation that landed the Summer Olympics. Maynard Jackson helped Atlanta develop economically. It was Jackson who pushed through efforts to build and expand Hartsfield in the late 1970s. His tenacious campaign to gain airport contracts for minorities at times, Jackson was pitted a political novice against Atlanta's powerful business community. Although along with overhauling and expanding Atlanta's airport and train system, Jackson secured Atlanta's as the host city of the Olympic Games in 1996. Perhaps Jackson's most enduring legacy is his fight to institute an affirmative action plan that elevated the percentage of city contracts awarded to minorities from less than 1% in 1973 to 38.6% 5 years later. He applied his program of joint venture, which brought together white-owned and minority-owned firms, most prominently at the airport. Under his watch, joint venture produced about 25 new Black millionaires. After going After undergoing heart bypass surgery in 1992, Jackson decided in 1993 not to seek a fourth term. Since 1973, Atlanta hasn't had a serious white mayoral candidate, and Jackson's affirmative action plan has been replicated in other municipalities. At age 65, due to a cardiac arrest, Maynard Jackson's life transitioned on June 23, 2003. He was known as a gentle giant, but for whites, Jackson was the face of Black power. Longtime friend Julian Bond said, Jackson was someone who always kept the race first, who always was interested in ensuring that African Americans got their fair share. Jackson was described as a kingmaker who could influence local elections across the country simply by showing up and favoring a candidate. Our ancestor, Maynard Jackson, may he rest in power.
Ashe. Before we get into some of what you just put on the table, I would like to read our purpose of the Sankofa Council from our bylaws. And the purpose of this organization is to use African principles of unity and cooperation to create a healing environment for our community. And I really feel that what you just read of Maynard Jackson, and he lived that. He definitely lived that. He set a blueprint for our people. And I don't know what happened, and I don't hear anyone talk about his blueprint anymore. And it's frightening to have someone who already did the work, but the ball has been dropped. And I could be wrong. There could be those that are out there that are actually following his blueprint, and I'm just not aware of it. If you ladies know of someone who falls under that description of the blueprint, please share with me.
I don't know that I would, I'm aware of them dropping it, but I know that I find travel to Atlanta to be most exciting. You see a real different energy in the airport based upon the kinds of businesses that are there. And so I'd like to think that that blueprint is there, that someone is still continuing it, because it continues to be a very exciting place, and I think the diversity that's there contributes to that. And I just wondered as I listened, will we ever see anything like this in Milwaukee, that same kind of energy that represents the diversity of the people that live there?
And thank you for sharing that, because I think about Atlanta, but that's the only city and state that I envision that still lives that blueprint. However, in my perspective, and it's just mine, I think that his innovative energy and, again, his blueprint that he set could be used, as you were saying, in other states. Like, example, I could see it happening here in Milwaukee. How about you ladies?
Well, certainly those the jewelry that our guest does could be there at the airport.
Mm-hmm.
So that anybody coming through would see it, enjoy it,
mm-hmm.
and make a purchase. And I think that's the kind of thing that perhaps is being pushed through Amazon as people are able to make some of these purchases. And I think that we just need to remember that we're part of the blueprint. Whether we're invited or not, we are part of that. And sometimes we have to be a little more assertive in putting ourselves in places that perhaps we haven't been before. But I do want to say to our guest something that I thought about as she was speaking. And I, too, like this type of jewelry, exactly as she's describing.
Mm-hmm.
Kazi, I want to certainly commend you for doing this work and encourage you to continue it, because it really served for me a way of trying to stay grounded as an African-American who, as a physician, worked in a very conservative setting. Many people looking at you, critical sometimes, and I just could not think about living my entire life without being able to use or to wear some of the things that were important to me and gave me joy. So it may have been my earrings. It may have been the necklace that I wore, the bracelet that I wore in that conservative setting. I think my patients enjoyed it, African-American and others. And so I would encourage you to continue your work. I would encourage others to incorporate some of these things that you, these symbols perhaps, that you find soothing, healing, attractive to you in your workplace. And, of course, based upon whatever the rules are within that organization, if they have a particular uniform or tell you not to wear any jewelry, but if you are able to do so, I'm so happy that you do it in the workplace, not just in your personal private time, because I can tell you it really was uplifting for me to make the selection of what I was going to wear in my work setting.
Yes, I can definitely relate to that. It's important to me that I usually have on something African-inspired pretty much every day, like you said, whether it's the earrings I choose to wear or a bracelet or a necklace or a ring. It's that constant reminder. It's a sense of awareness and pride for me. So that's usually what I'm thinking about when I create things.
Thank you. So share a little bit about how you're feeling about Black entrepreneurship and the support of the Black community for Black businesses and Black entrepreneurs.
Well, I think within the last, I would say probably the last 5 years, but especially I've noticed the last 2 to 3 with all of the racial tension and racial uprising. Black people, at least in my circle that I've noticed, are starting to become more self-aware, and we're waking up. We're doing more reading, more study. We're exploring our culture more, and we're paying more attention to where our dollars go. Many of us are starting to become very intentional about where and how we spend our money. So I do believe that the support of our community is there for Black businesses. However, I do think that there is still work to be done. For instance, one thing that I think we could get better at as a community is we are very quick to criticize one another and blast each other publicly when we're not satisfied with the service, right?
Yes.
But we don't consider the fact that if you just look at statistics, and I did look at some statistics today, that over the 2 million Black-owned businesses in America, only 124,000 of those businesses are considered employer firms, meaning that they have actual employees that they have hired, which means the majority of us are one-man shows, right? One man, one woman shows, maybe one other person in the family is helping. So sometimes there are some lapses. However, it would be better if we went to one another. Like me personally, if I have an issue with a Black business owner, I talk to them directly. You know, I don't blast them on social media. I don't blast them on Facebook. I'll talk to them personally, just like I would expect somebody to come to me personally if they have an issue with me, inbox me, call me. Because one bad review for us could be the death of our business. Whereas a Target or a Costco or whatever, one bad review is not going to kill their business, but one bad review in our community could. So at least give the business owner the courtesy of correcting a situation before we do that. And in the same, and to flip that, we have to do better with giving good reviews when service is good. Like, how many times do you give a good review on Google when you have great service at anywhere? We hardly ever think about giving a good review, but when we're upset about service, we'll give a bad review in a minute. So I've been very intentional about making sure when I go to businesses, if I get good service, I give good reviews publicly. So I wish we did more of that.
But we have some callers, and if we can go to some of our callers.
Yes, that would be great.
414-364. Do you have a question or comment for us? If you're muted, please unmute yourself so that you can ask your question. How about 414-507? 414-507. Do you have a question or comment for us?
Well, we're glad that you're with us and you're listening. When you, if you would like to ask a question, please, when we call your number again, please share with us. Any other ones, Dr. Jane?
That's all for right now.
Okay.
All right. Ms. Causey about her feelings about this, and I don't know if this is something that she's encountered, but I found this to be not an infrequent experience. I find that when Black businesses start, there's often enthusiasm. People will, they'll begin to reach out to us to sponsor all manner of things. They ask for donations. They are asking us to support. And I've not seen this to the extent elsewhere as I've seen it in Milwaukee. And however, and one of the things I began to do is to ask myself or them the question, are you one of my patients? Or point out that I will be happy to receive such requests from patients. But I'd ask them, who is your doctor? And they tell me someone else, and often it would be a white physician, but they would come to me for contributions. And I think that some of the data has really shown that if we're not being supported to the full extent, we aren't able to make the contributions to the community in the way that we even might like to do. So I'm just wondering, have you had people come to you and say, oh, I like your jewelry. We have an event. We're looking for auction items. And we'd like you to donate an auction item to this particular cause, Ms. Causey.
Yes, I have had that occur. And I will say I pick and choose carefully. Like you said, I pick people who, or groups or organizations that I know are also supportive of what my efforts are. And I do understand that people want to have the support of Black businesses when it comes to their organizations, but also don't devalue the Black business owner by always expecting us to do things for free. For one, the majority of us have way less capital than organizations that are not of color. And, you know, and so I just think that we have to do a better job when, you know, we have to think a little bit better when it comes to that. You know, I will donate auction items to groups. But I donate to groups that are near and dear to my heart as well, that are doing, you know, great things in the community. But you do have to be careful about people who just ask just because they think that you should, because you're a Black organization, so, or a Black business, you know. I think we have to do our best to support one another. But I think a lot of times, and I don't know if you guys feel this way, but we devalue our own selves. Like, how many times have you been at an event, and some of us may have been guilty of it ourselves, we always feel that when we're dealing with a Black business, that that means that the work is subpar. So we always expect a discount. We'll even ask for a discount. Well, why is your book $20? You don't go to Barnes & Noble and ask them why their book is $20. So don't ask a Black author why their book is $20. You know, we have a way of devaluing our own selves. And I think it's something that we don't even realize that we do, because it's been ingrained in us that we're less valuable. Our work is less valuable and that we're less than. And sometimes we still treat each other in that manner. And that's something that we have to become aware of. And we need to change that.
So true. Before we move on, Sister Auntie, could you share with our listeners for the email if they have any questions or comments? Sister Auntie, are you there?
Yes, sorry, I wasn't unmuted. yes, you can email us a question or a comment to Sankofa Council, MKE@gmail.com. And please, while you are, would you please mute your phones and be aware that the mics are very sensitive and background sounds will be heard during the program. Again, you can email us with a question or comment at Sankofa Council, MKE@gmail.com.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that. How about sharing our sponsor?
Our sponsor is EDOC Advice. It's a website created to provide a place to go to get answers to your health or medical concerns. Are you wanting more options than you feel you are getting? Let us help you problem solve by going to our website and ask your question. Our experienced professionals will help you obtain the help you need that makes sense to you. www.edocadvice. We are not to replace your health professionals or provide your care, but we can help you to become a better consumer so that you can get the best information to make a truly informed decision. We network with other professionals throughout the country and bring that information to you. www.edocadvice.com.
Thank you, Dr. Jane. If we could talk a little bit about the buying power, as we, as a black group of people, it's amazing. When I was looking up and comparing the statistics from last year and year before, it seems that we're still at the same number. Our dollars, our money is circulated one time in the African-American community. So that means that $1 stays within our community for only 6 hours, compared to the circulation of the Latino community is 6 times, the Asian community 9 times, and they identify at least within 30 days it stays within that community. European neighborhoods. It's interesting how, as I was reading, they identified the minority areas as communities, and then the Europeans were identified as neighborhoods. Not sure exactly if I want to dig further in that, but I just thought it stood out for me. And they say that the number is unlimited. But in the Jewish community, it stays for 20 days. In our buying power, they say we have $1 trillion gross net income, and only 2% is reinvested into the black community. How do you ladies feel about that? Demia, how do you feel about that?
Actually, it's disheartening, and I'm glad you brought that statistic up because it was the same statistic that I had too. It's disheartening in a lot of ways. I think some of it is we don't realize the availability of businesses that are actually black owned. I think that's one issue. We need to be intentional about seeking out those businesses, and those businesses need to be intentional about making sure that we know that they're there in the community. So I think that is one of the issues. We don't always know that those services are there. Like, for instance, I had put up a post on Facebook a couple weeks ago because I wanted to get our vehicle hand washed, and the place that I used to go that was black owned was closed. So I didn't know where else to go. So I asked the community, hey, where are the, you know, black owned car washes? You know, so we just have to be intentional about finding those. But also another reason why, like, I would love if we had a black owned full service grocery store where I don't have to go to more than one grocery store to get groceries. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, but of course that takes a lot of capital, which we know as black folks, we have a hard time getting business loans and things like that. Most blacks start their ventures with their own money. You know, they start their businesses with their own money, not through a business loan or anything like that. So most of us dig into our own pocket and hope for the best. And that's how we start our businesses, you know, because we don't have that upstart capital. But I would like it if there were places that I could go get groceries and it's, you know, full service in our community. You know, the Latino communities have their own grocery stores. You know, Asian communities have their own full service grocery stores. So,
do you remember Lena's?
Yes, I do.
Had one mm-hmm. store for many years and then branched out mm-hmm. and had several others.
And so I think I'm sorry.
No, I don't know financially what their experience was. I'm sure there's story to be told, but we've had some businesses, mm-hmm. and sometimes they are finding that it is the families who run those businesses, for whatever the reasons are, get tired of them, and instead of selling them to others if they're tired of them, where they've had a good name, that they continue. The importance of trying to continue those businesses.
Yes, I agree with you. Perfect example is Miss Diane, the only black gas station that we have in the city. Now, she recently did sell her gas station, but she was intentional. She sold her gas station to another black woman. Mm-hmm. That's who she sold her gas station to. And I actually, you know, because I was working for Milwaukee Neighborhood News Service, which I just stopped working for them back in November, but I did an article on Miss Diane that's still being edited right now, but it's going to come out pretty soon when we get some photos. But she was very intentional. Yes?
I'm sorry to cut you off right now. Hold that thought. Okay. We need to get to the top of the hour.
Okay.
And then we'll finish your discussion.
Finley Medical Clinic. We serve uninsured, underinsured, and insured individuals. Open Monday through Thursday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Urgent care clinic Friday and Saturday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call for an appointment at 414-988-3079. Finley Medical Clinic is accepting new patients. Vaccines and screenings.
490-9832. If you have any questions or comments, after the top of the hour, we will continue. It's really a great discussion.
Finley Medical Clinic. We serve uninsured, underinsured, and insured individuals. Open Monday through Thursday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Urgent care clinic Friday and Saturday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call for an appointment at 414-988-3079. Finley Medical Clinic is accepting new patients. Vaccines and screenings for uninsured, underinsured, and insured. Located at 10721 West Capitol Drive, Suite 110. Call our office for an appointment today at 414-988.
Brothers and sisters, we have been blessed with a new day. Smiled upon with another opportunity to better ourselves, to strengthen our families and support our community. Recite, if you will, in Nguzu Saba, the seven principles. Umoja is unity, and that's the way it should always be. To build and maintain unity in the family, nation, and community. As a people, we need to get together and share our blessings. That's the way it should always be. Umoja is unity. Kujichagulia is self-determination, you see? To define ourselves, name ourselves, create for ourselves, and speak for ourselves. Kujichagulia is self-determination, you see? I need freedom to define my own goals so no one has to speak for me. Ujima, collective work and responsibility. To build and maintain our community together. Your worries mine, my worries yours, whatever. Let's take responsibility for our past and what our future's gonna be. Ujima, collective work and responsibility. Ujamaa, cooperative economics, that money, man, to build and maintain our own stores, our own shops, our own businesses, getting props, sharing profits, feeling fine. I'll buy your goods, you buy mine. Believing people come before profits do. Power to the people, to the me, to the you. Ujamaa, we must understand that money, man. Nia is purpose, like a little girl's name, to make our collective work the lifting and building of our community so our people can rise to their traditional greatness. We are social beings and we must work together, our hood. But Nia's purpose, so it's all good. Kuumba is creativity, to do always as much as you can in the way that you can, so the community we inherit is more lovely than it began. Enhance the world, a flavor from you, a taste from me. Kuumba is creativity. Imani is faith. To believe in our hearts and our people, in our parents and our teachers too, and the righteousness of our struggle. Believe in the power of you. Selectively honor our leaders. Forever encourage the young with Imani, with faith. Umoja, that means unity. Kujichagulia, self-determination. Ujima, collective work and responsibility. Ujamaa, cooperative economics. Nia, purpose. Kuumba, creativity. Imani, faith. Umoja. Kujichagulia. Ujima. Ujimaa. Nia. Kuumba. Imani. Ashe. Who's going to have...
Are you, or is anyone you know, suffering from the horrific effects of trauma? If so, the Little Book of Affirmations, Claim Your Narrative Over Trauma, can help you. This short ebook is a self-help tool to help you get started on the path of healing from the impacts of trauma. It is important to know that trauma is not an event. It is how your body responds to an event. School shootings, police shootings, the death of a loved one, car accident, all of these events can cause trauma in our bodies. But you can heal from it. I repeat, you can heal from it. So go to Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble to purchase your ebook today, and just in time for the holidays, which is a time when a lot of people are suffering. Give the gift of healing for yourself or for someone you care about. The book was written by a licensed professional counselor who specializes in trauma-informed care. Follow her on Instagram at PLT_LPC and LinkedIn at Patricia Taylor. And I repeat, Instagram at PLT_LPC. And LinkedIn at Patricia Taylor.
A Baragani family, I hope that you all are enjoying the conversation. I know I am.
You are listening to the Sankofa Council of Milwaukee Radio Broadcast, where the host is Dr. Janine James, Sister Ipua Ma'at, Sister Osati Anti, Brother Kwasi Kraft, and Brother Kwojo Robinson. The Sankofa Council of Milwaukee radio broadcast is an affiliate of the Black Reality Think Tank Network, and it broadcasts on the Time for an Awakening radio platform. Contact them at Sankofa Council MKE at gmail.com. I repeat, Sankofa Council MKE at gmail.com.
We're back. Thank you for holding on, Dr. James. Before we get back to Demia's comment, do we have any callers that that are on the list after Demia's done with sharing her thoughts? Go ahead, Demia.
414-731-414-731. I believe that's the number. It looks like I see 414 or 0731. If you have a call or comment for us, and you may need to unmute yourself, I see 414-897. 414-897.
Yes, we're here, Robin Jolie.
Okay. Great to have you, Robert. Give me a few minutes. This is our second guest. And if we could finish hearing Dominia had something she wanted to share, if we could get finish with listening to her. So go ahead.
Okay. I was just following up with what we were talking about before the commercial break. A lot of the reason why I think that we have issues is we don't have people to pick up the torch once our elders decide that they want to retire. We don't have a succession plan in place. Like, for instance, that Coffee Makes You Black, you know, we need to have a succession plan in place. You know, the same thing happened with Will Allen when he decided that he was going to do something different. We didn't have a succession plan in place. So we need to be inspiring and encouraging our young people and mentoring them to be able to take over our businesses. If we have, because sometimes our children don't want to inherit our businesses as much as that seems like they should want to. Sometimes they have other aspirations, but in order to keep our businesses in the community, we need to be raising up individuals who want to take over our businesses to keep them in the community. And a lot of times we're not doing that. So I think that's another reason why our businesses, once somebody either passes away or they take ill or whatever, and then we end up losing our businesses because we don't have a plan in place.
I so agree, and to me, that's a great segue for our guests, Rob and Jolie Bronx. They are, I call them a family affair. Hi, Rob. Hello?
Peace, Queen. How are you?
I'm well, King. How are you doing? And how was this evening?
It was wonderful. It was wonderful. We are vending at Sherman Phoenix today at their holiday blackout event. It was, my voice is maybe a little bit hoarse. I may be a little tired, but it was a beautiful event to see all of the people out there.
Well, we're excited and happy to have you with us. Rob, my God, he has a health and fitness, health, wellness, and fitness background in business.
Yeah.
His business is Fit for You, MKE. And I'm going to let him share how he began. It's a very exciting timeline and history of and dedication of him getting started and what he saw in our community and what was needed. Go ahead, Rob.
Okay. I'll give you a long and short and bring it all together, and hopefully it makes a little sense.
Okay.
All right. So, you know, growing up on the north side of Milwaukee, 16th and Meineke, you see a lot of things. You know, I was previewed to grow up in a family that was, you know, divided and together all at the same time through mental health. Through mental disease and the lack of mental wellness, through the many different strategies that have been put against us, it really motivated me as a child to focus in on solutions at an early age. I mean, everybody called me Dr. Brock, okay, at the age of 3, 4, and 5 years old, because I really sought to, you know, heal people, you know, and I saw a lot of death and destruction in the 53206 zip code, okay? So as I fast forward, going through high school, graduate of North Division High School, three-sport athlete, why was I a three-sport athlete? To stay off the street. It gave me the opportunity to be mentored by coaches and my male teachers, because I grew up in a house divided. Like I said, I never met my father until I turned 31 years of age. Okay, my mother battled mental illness. I was in and out of foster homes. With the grace of God. Thankfully, I was not touched or molested, but I've heard stories and work with children today that have. So I have a certain empathy for the plight that, you know, our people and I have gone through. So I gravitate to those who are looked over. I gravitate to those who really don't have a voice or a platform. So with that, you fast forward to college, okay? I am really inspired in helping, so I went into physical therapy. I was also playing football. I banged up my knee. Football wasn't the avenue for me, so I really gravitated towards training and inspiring others to reach certain goals that they necessarily might not have thought that they could accomplish by themselves. So through my years in high school, college, meeting certain people, gravitating towards the health and wellness industry, but that was more of the surface level things that I didn't see at that time. Okay. So we really wanted to dive into the essence of healing through my ancestors, culture, find out where I came from. I didn't have a father, so that side of the family I really didn't know. And the family that was in Milwaukee, you know, is decimated through drugs, crime, and you name it, and poor nutrition. So all of this inspired me to really go into school and college and stay away from the streets. But, you know, still wanting to help all those around me, and also the things that I learned in schooling and in college, I wanted to give back. So, in that process of giving back, I developed my business. I also did an internship at a few gyms around the city and in Wauwatosa. And that inspired me to, hey, I can bring this to my people. I can bring this to my aunt. I can bring this to my mom. I can bring this to my aunts who couldn't necessarily afford a gym membership and or a $70 an hour session with a personal trainer. Okay. So out of college, I developed this routine, this program, and a lot of my friends and family gravitated towards it. Me bringing the gym to my clients, my friends and family, their homes, their place of work, and it really caught on. And a lot of people know each other, and word spread really fast. And in designing my programs, I tailor-made them to really consist of the individual. I get a body mass index. I get your height, weight, biometrics, and all that good stuff. And I ask you really solid questions on what your nutrition is. I'm asking solid questions that get your mind thinking as far as what is your surrounding atmosphere? How is that compiling to your stress? How was the stressors in your life, whether it be finances, relationships, all of that, how is that stressing you out with your normal day routine? So my wife, I met her in college, UW Stevens Point graduate, and she really helped me to mold myself and my insecurities. She asked me solid questions to where do I want to work with somebody else, or do I want to own my own business? What do we want to do as we grow together? My wife, Jolie, she's here. She's a communications major. And my background also, I am a health and wellness promotion major, a BS degree. Not in BS, but Bachelor's of Science. And I haven't earned my doctorate. I don't think I'm going to go to that. I'll just be the so-called hood doctor for right now. So with us, our union, and I'll have her expound a little bit more on what she brings to the table as far as the mother of my four children. And her background coming from Congo, Kinshasa, Africa, and what that really built our brand, how that, the combination of her knowledge and ancestral background with my lineage is just astronomical. And it plays out every single day with every person that we meet, with every person that gets a sample of our lavender lemonade. You get a taste of African and African American cultures molding and meshing together, and she'll paint a better picture on what that does and creates, because the creations are limitless, and it's like everything that we touch, hence, no pun intended, turns to gold, and the lavender lemonade is our liquid gold. So I'm going to drink a little bit of lavender lemonade right now and clear my throat, and I'll pass the mic to Jolie and have her kind of expound on where I'm at, and I'll dive in.
All right. Thank you. Hey, Jolie.
Peace. How's it going? Thanks for having us.
Well, thank you for joining. So we're waiting on for you to share.
So yeah, so basically, yeah, just expanding on what Rob was saying. You know, I saw the vision that he had, the passion that he had in health and wellness, and wanting to bring so much of it to our community. And so I decided to of course support him, through his mission. We took a huge leap, and he left corporate America first from working in various gyms, and took that leap to start his own business. And then I waited after about another 2 years, and then I stepped away from corporate America. I was I was working in a marketing firm out in Grafton. So we decided to take that huge leap, and just as we were able to pour into the community with the knowledge that we have and that we've learned, we also were able to, be so thankful to receive so much from our community, not only just the support for our business, support for our family, and just the resources. A lot of the stuff that we've learned through this journey of being in business now 11 years, mm-hmm. we neither one of us have business degrees. Mm-hmm. We don't have a background in business, so we have to learn a lot of this. And, you know, in our community, a lot of us, unless you have a business degree, you got to, you know, pretty much get it from the ground up and figure it out. So mm-hmm. we're really thankful that we tapped into other business owners in the community as we were going year after year. And we just said, you know what, we just have to stay consistent, take the lessons that, you know, are being given to us. Mm-hmm. We got support from WBIC. We took a class through WBIC so that way we can expand and learn more about, you know, behind the scenes with business and how to operate and things like that. And we've been thankful to, you know, like I said, 11 years in, and we, you know, God willing, we're going to keep on going.
That's a blessing. Share with us your lemonade, that famous lavender lemonade, and then the lavender shea butter as well.
Yes, yes. So just to give a short, you know, background about, you know, where it came from. So our family initially, you know, we use a lot of essential oils, you know, whether it's in the diffusers and things like that, just to, you know, help with our overall health at home. So I am a distributor for doTERRA essential oil.
Okay.
So a friend of ours, she was getting ready to plan for her bridal shower. And she saw a lavender lemonade recipe on our doTERRA website. And so she asked us to make it for the bridal shower because she was doing a rustic lavender theme. Mm. So I said, okay, sure. I've never made it before. I said, but I'll give it a try since I have the product. Let me try it out. So I looked at the ingredients and I realized that they said to use distilled water. We don't use distilled water. We started using alkaline water. I said, maybe we can substitute and just do it with alkaline water. And then they use regular sugar. We don't use regular white bleach sugar. So we decided, well, here's another thing. Let's substitute it and try natural raw sugar and agave nectar as a sweetener. So we made it. I just made a small batch for the bridal shower. I thought it tasted really, really good. I said, you know what? Sometimes, it, you know, it can be an acquiring taste, so let's just try it out and see how it goes. And long story short, I started seeing people's reactions and hearing things that they were, you know, saying about the lavender lemonade. Yep. And a light bulb went off. Light bulb went off just from their reactions. And then I just started doing a little bit more research and just started digging in a little bit more, finding out a little bit more about alkaline water, the alkaline diet, the lavender oil, and just the benefits of lavender. It's like the sky's the limit. You know, it's just there's so many different things and benefits that you can get from lavender. So we decided to substitute some of those ingredients and started, you know, going to different events, because initially we started off just doing juicing.
Mm-hmm.
We were just doing juicing, and the manpower, that we didn't have the manpower to do it in a large capacity. Mm-hmm. So when this lavender lemonade came into fruition and pretty much took off, we were like, okay, this is the route to go. It's very unique. The benefits as far as, you know, helping with stress relief, anxiety, insomnia, helps with migraines, great for digestion. And so we just started hearing testimonies from, you know, some of our customers and clientele, what it was doing to them, whether, you know, helping with insomnia, digestion, whatever different things that people had going on. We noticed that the lavender lemonade seems to kind of cater to what your body needs at mm-hmm. that time. So as we kind of experimented even more, you know, we were drinking it cold the first year and a half. And then one of our babies got sick. We said, you know what? You can never go wrong with teas. We always like to drink tea. So we said, let's just warm up the lavender lemonade and try it out. We typically would drink a lot of ginger teas. We sprinkle ginger in it. Voila. Another creation came from that. So just seeing the different ways that you can enjoy it, And then we started experimenting a little bit more, mixing it with cranberry juice or, you know, other flavored teas. And then some friends of ours started mixing it with different type of liquor, alcoholic drinks. So we're like,
spirit, if you will.
So
libation.
Right. So, you know, so we just, you know, like to tell people that, you know, here are the benefits of the lavender lemonade. Here are the different ways that you can enjoy it, you know, however you see fit. If you want to drink it cold, if you want to warm it up, if you're not feeling well, you know, in the wintertime or coming down with any sinus issues or anything, that warm lavender lemonade with that ginger really helps to break up those sinus issues. So we just started listening to our customers, listening to, you know, their needs. And it's been our bread and butter for the business.
It's definitely your market, your brand name. I definitely, the mm-hmm. relationship and connection of when you hear about the lavender lemonade, the first visual that comes to mind is you two.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So definitely have branded it to the point where the community, all they have to do is hear about the lemonade and they know exactly where to go. Mm-hmm. And then what about the shea butter?
Yep. And so the shea butter, so my husband, so Rob and our children, they have eczema.
Mm-hmm.
So what we realize is, and, you know, doing more research, we started realizing some of the issues with dairy and, you know, some of the things that we had in our diet. So we decided to change our diet, mm-hmm. switch up some things. And then we noticed that, you know, of course, you know, our people in general, some of us, you know, will have dry skin. So we always need something like shea butter to really, really help, you know, keep us moisturized. So with their eczema, what I did was I researched that, you know, lavender also helps with skin issues, mm-hmm. As well as coconut oil and tea tree oil. So those are the three that we, the three essential oils that we add in our shea butter. And it's really good for, you know, dry skin, eczema, psoriasis, you know, things like that. So that the lavender lemonade has really helped to keep their flare-ups down, as mm-hmm. well as, you know, us making a point to change our diet. So no one has really had any, you know, huge acne or eczema breakouts. Unless they really eat something completely out of our diet,
mm-hmm. okay,
you know, so okay. that so definitely helps.
I'm sorry. So we have an internal as well as an external product.
That's right.
That remedy for eczema as well as bronchial issues, and a lot mm-hmm. of us. Definitely live with that based on a lot of the housing, housing stock, how old it is and things that are in those homes.
That's right.
Can affect definitely the air quality.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you guys sell your products?
So we do a lot of pop-ups throughout the city. As those people are aware, somebody would tell you, I see them everywhere. So that's a part of our being consistent, was we have to keep this momentum going until mm-hmm. we're able to get our own space. So we've been blessed to, you know, work in a shared commercial kitchen space until we can get our own space. So in the meantime, businesses like Rise and Grind Cafe inside of the Sherman Phoenix, they have been a huge support for us, and they have been selling our 16-ounce bottles for us since the beginning of the pandemic.
We sold out the entire pandemic.
Every week we have been restocking. You know, more people are starting to, you know, hear about it. Mm-hmm. When we do pop-ups at Sherman Phoenix, then they know, okay, if I can't, you know, reach them, this is where I can get it if they're not at an event. So with our consistency and working hard and taking advantage of, you know, some of the downtime during the pandemic of, you know, some local grants and things that are available for small businesses, we took advantage and hit the ground running to start looking for space. And again, with the blessing of a resource from the owners of Rise and Grind Cafe,
They have connected us to, we are going to be taking over their very first location in the plaza, the North Bay Plaza off of Titonia and Flores.
Oh, okay.
So, yep, right over there in the area where the DMV is. Right behind the gas station. The post office is nearby.
Nice
Jamaican restaurant is nearby as well. So we have been doing our renovations and focusing on, we have our whole alkaline water filtration system that we have set up where we'll be able to also sell alkaline water and alkaline ice.
Let me tell y'all, nobody is doing alkaline ice in the city, the state, or even the Midwest. Okay.
This has been quite the project with multiple plumbers and working with the plumbing inspector to get this project going. So,
because they've never seen it before.
Wow.
We just got to make everything legal and lead-free.
Right.
And we've done it.
Mm-hmm. So
that's the thing. First time for everything. It can be done, huh? That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, we are not just local. Our listeners are global. So when you talk about the different locations, there are those that may not be able to come in person to your store. So how can they reach you? Because you have a very nice, very beautiful website, which provides a lot of the information. So what is your website?
Yeah, so our website is www.fitforumke.com. So that's FITYOUMKE.com.
Okay.
So if anyone goes onto the website, they can place an order for either the 3-pack of the 16-ounce bottles or the gallon jug and the variety sizes that we offer for the shea butter.
Okay.
Now, as of right now, we haven't shipped global. We've shipped throughout the entire continental United States. But we would like to get some shipments out there and see. It has a long shelf life.
Put it in the universe.
Come on now. All right.
I had a, when we had our discussion, Rob, you brought up some partnerships, some collaborating with the Garvey, Marcus Garvey Garden. Share a little bit about what is that about.
So the RBG Garden, also known as the Marcus Messiah Garvey Garden, was gifted to us by a good friend, our auntie, elder in the community, Levita Booker, okay. 2 years ago. And the first year we hit the ground running. We collaborated with Teens That Grow Greens, and also my children, my nieces and nephews, and some neighborhood kids. We were out there, you know, on a regular basis. This was before COVID. Okay. So then COVID, this was 2019. Summer of 2018. And then, 2019 came, and you know, a lot of participation fell off, and everybody was shocked. You know, but, you know, I was there, a few of my, cream skills, youth. That's also another, basketball organization that I'm, on the board for and the founding member of Cream Skills Inc. But we'll talk about that later.
That's interesting that you bring that up because, that was part of our conversation before you guys joined us. We were talking about passing on the legacy and grooming those in our family. And in my opinion, it doesn't have to be necessarily a family member, but somebody who may be interested in
carrying on that legacy, because gardening is very important. And we have our Senator Lena Taylor is big mm-hmm. on agriculture, and she's always promoting there's a grant, an agriculture grant, that's a federal grant, which pays for it pays for tuition, all of tuition. It offers youth summer jobs while once they each semester from college, they're offered a summer job in agriculture. And you don't have to necessarily, you could also be a veterinarian, somebody who may mm-hmm. be interested in animals. Agriculture is also listed under that. And I thought it was amazing. I wish I could read all, I don't remember the name of it, but I'll have to pull it up so it can be mentioned at another time. But it was just impressive, and she's always promoting and letting our kids know of opportunities that are out there. So your gardening, your garden, I should say, can definitely set a tone for somebody who really, you know, could actually obtain a full degree and then have a business.
Yeah, we want to pass on the benefits, and, you know, I'm giving a huge shout out to our brother Andre Lee Ellis mm-hmm. and our elder Venus Williams. You know, I look at them and I see the successes, and I see how our community is growing around them and has grown because of them. And I just, you know, I'm waiting to step in the footsteps and also learning and, you know, just thankful that we're all in this position. But there's a lot of work to do. There's a lot of work to do, and we got to inspire. We got to wake folks up.
Yeah, that's true. And even Mr. Allen and how he started,
brother,
on the
oh my goodness, yeah,
urban farming, and quite interesting in purchasing fresh produce. And it's interesting that Sister Dominia was talking about wanting to have a full, she would love to have a full grocery store in our community. And I think about the produce that we could support our farmers. You know, that we, it'll be, in my opinion, it's fresher to get it from them versus, you know, the store.
Oh, for sure. And there's a few greenhouses over there that, you know, with that grant money could be fixed up. And it's so many things that could be done with the right resources and just point us in the right direction. During this COVID, I mean, Jolie and I were some grant writing, you know what. I mean, if we see it and we qualify for pretty much all the grants that have to do with minorities and women and health and wellness, agriculture, like literally education, we qualify for pretty much all the grants. So it's just all about point us in the right direction, and we can fill it out.
Yeah.
And then we can all benefit from it.
You are so correct. And those are things that we need to, as you say, have knowledge to learn about, find mentors, utilize mm-hmm. the resources that are out here. That's going to be a topic for another time of, you know, mm-hmm. what resources are out there. And I would love to have you guys back on to touch base on that. Tonight, our focus was to how do we support our Black entrepreneurs. And also during Kwanzaa. And I know, Rob, you're co-hosting two Kwanzaa events. Can you share that with our listeners?
Yes, we're co-hosting with our good brother, Heal the Hood, Osmu Butler. So basically, we're presenting Kwanzaa 2021, cooperative economics from the home to the community. We have an entrepreneurship presentation. And the keynote speakers. This is on Wednesday, December 29th, from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the African American Women's Center, 3020 West Belize Street, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. We will have vendors, African drumming, dance. Artists will come out with spoken word. It's going to be a lot of great energy. We'll definitely have food. And on, let's see here. That was
Wednesday 29th.
Ujamaa. Yeah, Ujamaa. Yes. On the 29th. So, and Kuwumba will be hosting
on Friday, December 31st.
My apologies. The same location, 3020 West Belize Street, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. And that's going to be from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., but that's a two-part session. Mm-hmm. And in that two-part session from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., we're going to have activity stations for youth, performances, food vendors, a stilt walker, of course, African drumming, and also participation with the crowd with the African drumming. And then we're going to highlight the evening from 5 to 10 with more African drumming, spoken word, and we're going to have a keynote speaker with Jamila Kearney. If you've ever heard Jamila Kearney speak, she just speaks life into everything. And her message is going to be sent from the creator to create. Okay.
All right.
So,
and also on the 31st, we have a live band, a local band that's going to be performing. So that's going to be really, really exciting. And then we also have a brief award ceremony. We want to honor one of our well-respected elders in the community that has been doing a lot for the community, Brother Derek Rogers. So just wanted to, highlight an elder and just bring some entertainment, culture, and get the youth also involved. So please look out for that on Facebook for those dates, again, the 29th and 30th. And then also we'll be vending for Kwanzaa opening night on the 26th. And that's going to be over at the Black Historical
Society.
Yep. Over on 26th and Center.
All right.
That's going to be on the 26th. Yep. And then the other one that we're not hosting, but we'll also be vending, Sister Cheryl Blue is organizing on December 30th for Nia. She's going to be having an event from 1 to 4 p.m. on the 30th, and that's also going to be at the Black Historical Museum on 26th and Center.
Okay.
So a lot of dates. A lot going on. Anyone who's interested, you can give us a call, 414-897-3195. We can answer any questions you may have. If anyone needs some flyers sent to them virtually, or then we can also do that as well. And, so we just hope to see everyone. We've been passing out a lot of flyers, talking to a lot of people. We got some exciting vendors coming, so we're super, super excited. And I know Ms. Josephine Hill over at the African Women's Center, as well as Mr. Claiborne Benson, at the Black Historical Society, whose daughter Jamila, they're excited to also, help from, others in the community to help, keep Kwanzaa going, because last year they canceled it completely because of the pandemic.
Man, right? The Zoom call.
So, we definitely are hoping that, we can bring the people out. We are going to be doing temperature checks at the door, to try to help, bring a little bit more.
And when you enter, you must enter with a mask.
Okay. And a ticket. Let me pause you for a moment.
sister, auntie, could you invite sponsorship to our listeners? Sister auntie?
Sponsors are welcome. Do you have a service you want others to know about? Have you written a book we need to read? Consider becoming a sponsor. Send us an email at sankofacouncilmke@gmail.com. Support the program that's working for you by bringing you information you will not hear elsewhere that you need to know. Contributions to support the broadcasting efforts can be made at PayPal, sankofa_think@outlook.com. Thank you. I'm truly enjoying the information that's being shared and excited about the entrepreneurs that we have in our midst.
Ah, yes. Thank you so much. I would like to remind everyone that Kwanzaa actually is a 7-day celebration. It starts December the 26th to the 1st of the new year. We encourage you to study about Kwanzaa, hold a Kwanzaa celebration, attend those scheduled in your community, study the Uwusaba to understand how to think about your conduct for the upcoming year. So any questions or any comments from our host or panelists, and are there any calls, Dr. James?
Well, we are so happy to have had our guest here with us today and getting us talking about some things that we really need to be talking about. So we thank you for coming on. I would certainly encourage us, even as we are Afrocentric, to realize that we are not alone, and there's great opportunities that we need to be receptive to in terms of the sale of our services as well as our goods. That we are participating not only in events within our own community, but consider other events in other parts of the city to make sales. We want everybody using the things that we have, the jewelry that we talked about today, as well as talking about the lavender lemonade. So we've got to be very purposeful in how we market and make sure that we are making ourselves available to as many people as possible to help toward our wealth building, because it builds not only us but our community.
Mm-hmm. And that's so true. And the great thing about what Rob and Jolie are doing, they're setting up a intergenerational wealth building with their children. I would love for us to get in that conversation. We don't have the time for it now. But that would definitely be a topic by itself, just to have conversation and how we mentor and groom our children to be entrepreneur thinkers, and how to move through this world from a business-minded perspective. You don't necessarily all the time have a business, but having that business mindset will open up doors and also afford opportunity in life. It just opens things so differently. Any callers?
Don't have any callers, but I'm sure we've got plenty of listeners.
All right. Well, I, you know, when we're quiet, that means that the soul food is nourishing, and yeah. it must be feeding the soul, and I'm thankful for that. I'm getting tongue tied. Dominia, you have anything that you would like to add to the discussion?
I would just like to add that if we practice the seven principles of Kwanzaa every day, mm-hmm. our community would be much better. It's not something that we should only practice for 1 week out of the year. You know, Kwanzaa is really, it sets the principles and standards for good life. And so mm-hmm. more of us should get into the mindset of practicing Kwanzaa daily in our daily lives. And as far as how we support each other's businesses, for instance, Rob and Jolie, we see each other at events all the time. Whenever I'm there, I'm buying some lemonade. Whenever he there, he putting me on Facebook, even though I don't like it, telling people to come support me. Because I'm a little shy, but you know, we support each other through word of mouth, telling people. I had my mom come up there. My mom bought some lemonade. She had never had it before. So sometimes, even if we have businesses that we may not use personally, that doesn't mean we can't refer other people to our businesses that can use the service. You know, maybe somebody has an allergy to, maybe I have an allergy to lavender lemonade, which I don't. But I'm just saying, if I did, that doesn't mean I can't share the information with somebody else who could also benefit. So sometimes just the word of mouth in our business, whenever people ask me, do I know a business that does XYZ, I go through my mental Rolodex of Black businesses that I support first.
Mm-hmm. And that's important to have. That Rolodex is very important to have. Yeah. And networking and communicating to ask those questions. When you don't know, like you were saying about putting it out there on Facebook and asking if somebody is aware of a certain business.
Yes. And so just being intentional about where we spend our dollar and knowing that in our community, in order to build that wealth, because we're several generations behind through no fault of our own, mind you. And that's a whole nother conversation too, but through no fault of our own, but you know, just supporting and uplifting one another so that we can keep that dollar in our community for longer than 6 hours. You know, that's very important for the growth and viability of our future generation.
Yes. And I would also add that some of the Black businesses reinvest in their community. I'm sorry. Was that Dr. Jane?
Yes. I just wanted to, again, to summarize that we are preparing for Kwanzaa, and those dates are December 26th to January 1st. We encourage you to study about Kwanzaa, hold a Kwanzaa celebration, attend those scheduled. We've heard about a number today that are scheduled in our community. Study the Nguza Saba to understand how to think about your conduct for the coming year. We want to put that thought in your mind. We're getting revved up, and certainly by having our guests here with us today, Demia Kazi and Rob and Jolie, we're getting rolling, and they have really brought us some valuable information. We're so happy that you've been here with us.
Yes. It was definitely an honor and a blessing. And in closing, we would like to thank you for joining us today. Again, thank you, Dominia and Rob and Jolie.
Thank you all for
and for those
thank
and
you.
For those that are participating on the air with us. I thank also the Sankofa Council for its support of this program and for sharing their vision for unity following African-centric principles and helping us to learn and use these principles in our lives. We look forward to bringing you more programs we hope you will enjoy.
Visit our sponsor at www.edocadvice.com. That's www.edocadvice.com. Good night and stay safe. The Sankofa family and all of you until next time. Your host, I am Sister Ifua Ma'at with my sister, Asante, and Dr. Janine Gray. Asserta Asante.
Good night. Peace and blessings.
Good night.
Peace. Good night, King.
You got to give the people. No more lies. We want freedom, justice, and equality. I want it for you and I want it for me.
You
don't you know you
got to give the people.
You
give people what they want.
Well, well.
Don't you know?
Don't you know
you got to give the people.
Finley Medical Clinic. We serve uninsured, underinsured, and insured individuals. Open Monday through Thursday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Urgent care clinic Friday and Saturday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call for an appointment at 411.
Time for an Awakening is a proud part of the Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent black digital and podcasting platform. Time for an Awakening is a proud part of the Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent black digital and podcasting platform.